have cell phones too. So, like being in a plane, right? Okay, so my first experience actually coming to Krishna consciousness, I was associating with devotees since the early 1980s, and I met my Guru Maharaj in 1996. But the first ever picture that I saw was of Shamarani's. And that was on a picture on a magazine called the Back to Godhead. And so that picture, that Back to Godhead magazine actually brought me to the temple. And from then on, I became very enamored by the art of Krishna consciousness. So much of our books that were written by Srila Prabhupada and Srila Narayana Maharaj have Shankaran Shankaran's artwork in them. And on a personal note, before I became a devotee, I was very much into art. I was very much into architecture and paintings and all sorts of different watercolors. My favorite painter was Vincent van Gogh. And I used to think a lot of times that so much of art today is done for commercial reasons, just to make money. And when I came to Krishna consciousness, I read in Srila Prabhupada's books that actually the highest type of art is to glorify the Supreme Lord without any desire for any remuneration or money or even any glorification. And that really got me, because I actually saw that the real purpose of art is to glorify God, and that helped me to become a devotee. And Shamarani's paintings have really been very inspiring and very uplifting to me. Every devotee is very familiar with her art. She's been painting for 40, almost 40 years. So she's going to be able to talk about her life and her devotional experiences and about her art. So thank you again for coming, and I'm going to introduce my senior daughter, Ms. Trinity Das. If you do have any questions on the program, you can come to me and ask any questions for another devotee and for the unmute copy. And thank you so much. Ms. Trinity Das.
So tonight we actually have a very special treat. I have the great pleasure of introducing my god sister, Lady Shamarani, who has been painting, as the Guru pointed out, for the Acharyas, for the eternal Guru Parampara, since she joined the Hare Krishna movement. And I was asked to make this a little personal to introduce her. So there's actually, she's actually one of the big heroes in the Hare Krishna movement. She's one of their original disciples, one of the first lady disciples, and Prabhupada, when soon as Prabhupada understood that she could paint, Prabhupada had her painting, and her paintings went all over the Hare Krishna movement. He'd have her painting pictures of the disciplic succession, pictures of Krishna, pictures of the goat, and they went everywhere, all over this movement. And there's some very nice, if you get a chance, there's some very nice old archival footage. I was watching it the other day, that's why I didn't say this. And there's Lady Shamarani walking with Srila Prabhupada. It's a classic. She looks a little different. So she is very dear to Srila Prabhupada and Srila Gurudev. Prabhupada used to tell us that this art was actually windows into the spiritual world. And anybody who's ever gone out and distributed books, all us book distributors know every single book has been sold because of the artist. And we used to actually just show people the pictures, and they would buy the book just based on those beautiful pictures. So she has been given personal instruction by both Srila Prabhupada and Srila Gurudev in her painting. And it shows up. It definitely shows up in her artwork. You can see these are windows to the spiritual world. Alright? And that's very, somebody can actually take, you know, paint and turpentine and whatever, and turn it into a window into the spiritual world. This person is empowered. So I think we're all going to have a real treat tonight to look at her art and hear her story.
And it, she's a really, really sweet devotee on top of all that. Despite having so much instruction from Prabhupada and Srila Gurudev, she is totally accessible to anybody and everybody. And she can give you so much inspiration in your own life and spiritual life. And if you're an artist, we need artists. So maybe she can inspire some of the artists out there. And so without any more talking and whatever, I'd like to introduce Lady Shyamarani.
Hare Krishna. First, I'd like to say this is all Bobo Talk because I'm not Lady Shyamarani. The Lady Shyamarani is right here in all these pictures that is going on. Krishna is Shyam, Shyam Sundar, beautiful, blackish, flower boy, actually the Supreme Personality of Godhead. In his original feature is a transcendental power boy. And he's the color of a fresh rain cloud, and so his name is Shyam Sundar. Sundar means beautiful, and Shyam means like a blackish rain cloud. And Shyamarani, Rani means queen. So Shyamarani is the queen of Shyam and Shyam Sundar, and that is Srimati Radhika, who is the pleasure potency, the supreme power of the supreme powerful, that is simply her shadow reflection, is this entire material existence. And her expansion, Yogamaya, as the material nature is controlling everything here, and that's her shadow. Her expansion, Yogamaya, is controlling everything in the spiritual world. And she is Krishna's all-accommodating, internal, inconceivable potency. So I am not Lady Shyamarani, but Shyamarani Das, Shyamarani Das, Shyamarani Das. So, I was asked to speak about my life. So until I met Srila Prabhupada, my life was nothing. I was nobody. I was engaged in all sinful activities. And I went to music and art high school because I was always liked to draw and paint. And then when I was in college in New York City, they had an art show, which was just before I met Prabhupada. And a friend of mine came to the art show and he said, "Which is yours?" And just to be humble, I said, "Well, which is the worst picture in this whole show?" And he pointed to mine. So that's how I got. But then, as Shinji Prabhu says, in order to do these paintings, one has to be empowered. So I don't mind saying the paintings are beautiful, gorgeous, stunning, magical, the same thing as spiritual world, because I know that I'm not the empowered person who did it. You can't say that a paintbrush or a hand is empowered. It's just a mundane instrument. So I remain mundane, and I'm a mundane instrument, and I empower two spiritual masters, Srila Prabhupada Bhaktivedanta Swami Maharaj, and Srila Bhaktivedanta Narayana Swami Maharaj, Srila Prabhupada's successor. So this is how I painted before, and I fell by just maybe a few months before. And here's another one. This is in 1966, when I was a college student in New York. This is my scale. No life, just still. And then, in October of 1966, I met Srila Prabhupada, right exactly at that place, by the tree, in Tompkins Square Park, which is a very big park in New York City, where people from all over the world gather, and all the local hippies would play over bongos and cymbals and flutes. And then, I just had an argument with my father. And so then I thought, this person could not be my real father. And with that, I walked out of the house and went to see a friend, but I had to go to the park. So in the park, I saw Srila Prabhupada sitting on a Indian rug. And there's yet about 10 or 12 disciples who were all dancing in a circle in front of him on the rug. And my first impression was that this person looks like one of the swamis coming down on a magic carpet from another planet. And actually he was. So next. Very shortly after I met him, he gave me this picture and asked me, well, first, he asked one of the devotees what kind of talent I had. So they said I was interested in art, and Srila Prabhupada asked me to paint, oh yeah, lights. Wow. Any work can go out or not? Okay. So he gave me a picture, this very old picture of Radha and Krishna, and asked if I could paint one for the temple. And since then he had maybe three or four. And after that picture was done and it was framed, and it was framed, and Prabhupada made an announcement to all the devotees present and said, this is Vedic culture. The ladies cover head to toe and the man can just wear one bra. Then, you may know the history that when Prabhupada came to America in 1965, he only had 40 rupees with him. He started, as you know, this worldwide movement with millions of people who had never heard of Krishna before, never believed in God, or if they did, they thought he was impersonal or void, or that they were God. And he created a movement where millions of people were chanting and are chanting Hare Krishna and reading all the Vedic scriptures, offering their fruits to Krishna and performing so many devotional activities. But when he first came, he just had a few garments with him, 40 rupees, which translates into about $7. But you can't change rupees into dollars in America. So really he had nothing. But he had a small trunk, one of those Indian tin lockers, and in there, several volumes of Srimad Bhagavatam, which is ancient Vedic scripture that he had translated to English, and which is the essence of all Vedic knowledge. So this painting, he told me, was done by a friend of his, and he asked me if I could paint for the temple at 26th 2nd Avenue in the Valley, just this part. So next, oh, great. And he explained what this whole picture is. This is actually not just a picture, as was quoted earlier. These pictures are windows to the spiritual sky. So this picture shows the whole spiritual sky. The first spiritual planet, Goloka Vrindavan, where Krishna lives, and then he expands into unlimited forms presiding over unlimited Vaikuntha planets, which are each unlimited in length and breadth, and Vai means no, and Kunta means anxiety. There is no anxiety. Everybody is in full bliss, full knowledge, and eternal life. And then this little section here, which is just one tiny fraction of the spiritual world, is the material world, where the supreme original form of God, Krishna, expands into Lord Vishnu, and he breathes in and out the universes. We think maybe, oh, this day is so long, when will it end? But millions of days, millions of years, millions of ages, all together is just one breath of Mahavishnu, which is just a small fraction of Krishna. So We all came from the world where we went to school and learned that there are only 9 planets in existence, and this is the only planet where there's life. So many silly things we learned. And then Prabhupada came and switched everything around and got us to believe him by enthusing us to chant the Hare Krishna mantra, at which point we developed faith in the reality and faith in the teacher of the reality. So I did this painting, which is a copy of that Srimad Bhagavatam cover, and whatever early painting I did, Srila Prabhupada had me write something right on the painting, because he wanted to give knowledge in all ways, by sight, by transcendental sound vibration. So this, the words, is a prayer, Momaha Bhattanyaya, Namo Brahmanin Devaya, Go Brahmanin Sayata, Jagatataya Krishnaya, Govindaya, Namo Namaha, which offers obeisances to the Supreme Lord, Sri Krishna, and begs his mercy to help us transcend all the limitations of this transient world. And even though you can see it's not technically good, but still Prabhupada put it on his temple wall, and I remember he had some guests, some Indian guests, and he was telling them that she has not made up this painting, but it is all coming from higher parts. It always makes us feel very good, just like a little child. The parent will say, oh, you're so intelligent, you're so wonderful, and brag about you to all his friends. The Prabhupada did that also. Now, in 1967 or 68, one of the devotees who was the editor of the first Bhaktivedanta magazines asked Prabhupada if he could have spiritual comics in the magazine of the great authorities in Krishna consciousness called Mahajans, great transcendental authorities. So Srila Prabhupada encouraged that. So then every Bhaktivedanta for a while, we were doing a comic series of great personalities like Lord Vishnu and Bali Maharaj. And this is a picture of Vishnudev, who's a devotee of Lord Krishna. Even though he has so many arrows in him from the war, he didn't feel it at all, because he's absorbed in the Lord, and so he's untouched. We don't have that bad situations. But he's showing that even if you have that situation, you can transcend it by remembering Krishna. This is more scripts from that comic. Then this is not my painting, but this is one of the standard Vrijabasi prints, Indian traditional paintings of Radha and Krishna. And Srila Prabhupada told me that he wants us to use these kinds of paintings as our standards for the dress, for the sweetness, for the age of Radha and Krishna. And he showed me this picture in Boston once, and he said they look just like children. So he always wanted us to paint them in a very innocent, sweet way. And this is Srila Prabhupada himself in New York City. I think this is 1967. And these are the second ISKCON Jagannath deities and the first ISKCON deity of Madan Mohan here. And here he is performing a fire sacrifice for initiation. And one day, he called me into his quarters, which was just behind the temple. You just saw a picture of the temple. This is just behind the temple, Prabhupada's apartment on the second floor. And he called me over, took me over to the wall, where there was a picture of various incarnations of the Lord. And in the middle was this picture of Lord Vishnu. So he asked me to do about 20 or so paintings like this, with each with different hand symbols in the different arms, and with a different Sanskrit name. So on a small piece of paper, he wrote all the names and wrote which name corresponds with which hand symbol. And all these different Vishnu incarnations of Krishna preside over various of these Vaikuntha planets. These planets that are unlimited and length and breadth, where there's no anxiety, where everybody lives eternally in full bliss and knowledge. And as you can see, I didn't know how to make anything realistic. His club looks like an ice cream cone, and the ocean looks just like a blue blob with some white question marks on it. But still, he was so encouraging. When I finished the first one of these paintings, he called all the devotees over and said, "Now, who could say that is not God?" And I was so encouraged, even though I didn't know how to paint at all. I thought, yeah, I don't know if I can ever paint one so good again, but I'll sure try it. And this is Srila Prabhupada a few years later. And he had me do, starting back in 1966, paintings of the Panchatattva, Lord Chaitanya, who's another Krishna himself, who came in the form of a devotee to teach by his own example how to develop love for God. And these are his expansions also. So Prabhupada used our art as the door for Guru Nishinthu stated all over the world. And he said these pictures are windows to the spiritual world, and they will be like the rain after the drought of mundane art, and everyone will be attracted. And this is about 1970 in Boston, Massachusetts, where one of Prabhupada's early temple was. And this is Nagaga the Bargash and Murugarthi and myself painting for Prabhupada Srimad Bhagavatam, second canto. And we used to paint on the same canvas. When Prabhupada came to Boston first in 1969, he said, "I want to produce this Krishna book and the Srimad Bhagavatam very, very quickly. So I'm going to be dictating in his dictaphone machine so many pages a day, and I want the ISKCON press devotees, that is, the call devotees who have any publishing talents, from all over the world to converge in Boston." And he set up what was called ISKCON Press, and later became called the DBT, or Bhaktivedanta Book Trust. And so there were composers, that's the four computers, composers and layout people and photographers. And he said, "I want, as fast as I'm dictating, I want the books to come out." So he says to the artist, "I want a painting to come out every 2 days." And there were three of us artists. So Bargash would start the paintings, and he did the sketches and worked on the first layer. And he had 2 days to do the sketch and the first layer. And then I developed it, and Murugar put on the details, like garlands, earrings, like that. And of course, I couldn't read Bargash's mind, so I couldn't tell how he would want the picture developed. So he was quite frustrated. But still, the paintings came out and the books came out very fast. And those were very historical days, back in the late 60s and early 70s, when America was very revolutionary, and the students used to strike and form demonstrations against the war in Vietnam and against racism, and they were bombed by the police, and so much tension between the student and young community and the society at large. And everybody was looking at that time, particularly the young people, but so many, hundreds of thousands or millions were looking for an alternative to the materialistic way of life. And Srila Prabhupada descended onto that scene. So he wanted the books to come out very, very fast, and somehow, by his mercy, although we had no qualification and still have none, but he took over our lives so that we gave up all of our activities and dedicated ourselves fully to this. So this is showing some of the processes about how the paintings came out for a few years by the assembly line. Once, the photographer came to take the pictures because the book had to go to press. And we weren't ready. We had about 2 or 3 days work left. And he wanted the picture right now for the cover of the second volume of the Krishna book. So we locked the door, and he kept knocking. And we told him to come back in a few minutes, he kept knocking. And the three of us together worked on one painting, like 6 arms and 3 legs, parted. And in a very short time it was done, and we took it and became the cover. Okay, this is not a painting that I made up, but one that I just copied from another one of the Indian Vidvasi prints. This was back in 1968 or 9 in Boston. And we put it up on the wall, and then Prabhupada came to Boston. And I came late to class. So there was about 300 devotees in between Prabhupada, who was sitting up on the Vyasasana, and me, who had just walked in the back door. And he called out over everybody's head, "Did you do this painting?" And I said, "Yes." The only thing I really did that was mine is that I changed it had in blue and I changed it to green because Lord Vaughan was the color of fresh Vrindavan grass. So I said, "Yes, I did." So he said, "You are already in Vaikuntha." So he was so expert and lovingly encouraging his newborn baby children. And this is, I think it's 1969, 71 in New York. That's when the press moved to New York City. So this is 1971. This is the Dwaita who was in charge of printing. At that time, Prabhupada wanted us to print our own books on our own printing press. And so now he's coming to New York in 71 and visiting the press and giving his instructions and encouragement. And this is myself with Bharadvaj, and there's a lot of devotees there. This is our wedding, Bharadvaj's wedding, and we were throwing grains into the fire. So Prabhupada was sitting here, and in our exuberance, when we were throwing the grains soaked in butter, it went to the other side of the fire where Prabhupada was sitting, and was all being thrown on him. So he's so merciful and so peaceful, he just said in a very monotone voice, "Unto the fire, not unto me." Now this picture is also not mine, it's an Indian Vidvasi print. And Srila Prabhupada mailed that to us and said that I want the Krishna book pictures to be in this style, and you should put this particular picture in with your paintings. Okay. Now this is one of the paintings that we did for Prabhupada's first Bhagavad Gita. We were very fortunate because the symptoms of the people in this age called Kali Yuga, the age of quarrel and hypocrisy, is that, is somebody at the door? Is that everybody is mandak, sumanda, matayo, manda, bhavya, kukukukaha. That is, everyone in this age is lazy, misguided, unlucky, and always disturbed. So, and I'm one of the people of that category. So, I would have been so lazy to read all these beautiful, great scriptures which teach about reality. reality distinguished from the illusion for the welfare of all. And this reality uproots, knowledge of this reality uproots the threefold miseries of material existence. So I would have not read anything, but because we had to pick out, Prabhupada ordered us to pick out pictures from his unpublished manuscripts and then make the paintings and then put the paintings in his books for when they got printed. So we had to read everything very carefully, and that was our fortune. So this one, in the Bhagavad Gita, talks about two birds sitting in a tree. One bird is trying to enjoy, you can see he's trying hard, but not having a very good time with it, enjoying the fruits of the tree. And the other bird is just this friendly bird waiting for him to turn to him to have a beautiful relationship. So the wild frenzy bird is the individual soul in the body who's attached to enjoying the fruits of this material body, which is made of crust, crust, stew, and urine, so you can imagine the fruits of it. And so this is an analogy, and here's the man trying to enjoy the fruits of the body, which we just copied from a Rembrandt picture of a man trying to kidnap the lady. And then the friendly bird, that's the super soul, Krishna expanded in his forearm feature, who's sitting in everyone's heart. And he's been coming with us in the transmigratory cycle of birth and death since the beginning of time, just waiting for us to turn to him and have a beautiful relationship with him. Now, similarly, we were forced to read his unpublished manuscripts of Srimad Bhagavatam. So, in this picture, as explained in Prabhupada's purport, simply by trying to satisfy the body and mind, the soul within cannot be happy. Just like if you put food in a jacket pocket, thinking that you're going to satisfy your hunger, you won't. So here's the king and his servants are fanning him and feeding him grapes, peeled grapes, but still he's completely miserable. And the analogy is like the lady is cleaning the bird cage but not feeding the bird. And so even though it's a golden bird cage and a golden house, still the bird dies. Because he's not getting any real food. So, not getting any real food for the soul, which is association with the Supreme Soul, Sri Krishna, in a spiritual atmosphere, even no matter what we try to do for our body and mind, we'll be miserable. And Srila Prabhupada said, you can take that from the Vedas, or you can take it from daily affairs. So I asked Prabhupada, I wrote him a letter and I said, we want to do this particular picture to show your analogy, but how do we show that the soul is unhappy inside? Here we show, because the bird represents the soul and the cage the body, but how do we show the king's soul unhappy? He said, if a person's dress, he wrote me back, we got about 90 letters from him. And we're so fortunate because we understand from scriptures that personalities like Srila Prabhupada are not developing personalities, developing their spiritual life and then they became perfect, but rather gurus of this caliber have descended from the spiritual world, from the abode of God himself, sent by God himself, in order to pick flower-like souls from this world and make them bloom and make them become offerable to the Lord and the real Lady Shyamarani, Radha and Krishna, in the spiritual sky. So we would write him so many questions about how to do the art, or just any questions, and he would always reply so quickly. So he wrote back that if somebody's clothing is all dirty and disheveled, then you get a good idea that they're not taking care of themselves. So he said, similarly, by the outer expression of the king, you'll know that his soul is not happy, even though he's getting all material facilities. Then, this is also for his original Bhagavad Gita. And this, there's no verses about this. Like I said, we could read his unpublished manuscripts and get the ideas. And then he also told me to write captions under the paintings to show where they fit within Krishna's verses. But this particular analogy is not in the Bhagavad Gita. So Prabhupada wrote me in a letter and he said, put it in the Gita. This is in the Gita. You can see the person going from childhood to youth to old age to death, and then the soul goes on to another body. And which body is it dead depends on the activities, the kind of activities. If he likes to bark at people, then he may become a dog. That's simplistic, but simplistically said. If he likes to sleep a lot, he may become a bear. Or if he likes to eat flesh, like I know there's a place not too far from here, Fisherman's Wharf, where they take monkeys and then they put the monkey's head through the table, and it's just the head, and the people at the table just beat the head dead, at least when I was young. You know that? Yeah, and they serve that. So, if somebody likes to do that, and they can become tigers and stuff. Wait, I'm sorry. So, but anyway, this part is in the Gita. And then, this part, he said you should show a film strip with the different frames of the movie. And seen consecutively, like on the movie screen, seen consecutively, it looks like one picture of the man is moving. It's just one picture. But if you analyze each frame, it's many, many different pictures. So it looks like we have one body that's growing, but actually, at every second, the soul is just traveling through different bodies. So that's what this is. Okay. Now this is 1971 or 72 in New York City. This is in Brooklyn. We had a temple on Henry Street. And Srila Prabhupada is performing an initiation ceremony there, and that's why there's so many beads on his microphone. And this is the same place, New York City, when Prabhupada is visiting the press. Okay. And this is one of the paintings. One of the paintings that he had me do, which became the cover of his Sri Supranjali. Okay. Now, this is the painting for his 10th canto, Srimad Bhagavatam, which is the last volume that Srila Prabhupada produced before leaving our vision. He never left. In fact, once when we were in New York City and he was coming to the West Coast, Los Angeles, San Francisco, for the first time in January of 1967, we had heard that he was going to leave in a few days because he was going to open up his second ISKCON temple. So I said, we called him Swamiji in those days. So I said, oh Swamiji, I heard you're going to leave in a few days. He said, do you think I would ever leave you? Don't think like that. I'm always with you and you're always with me. And still today, to this very day, he's still with all of us. But he's out of our vision. And we can still have his vision by realization, by becoming advanced in Krishna consciousness. And we also experience him through his successor, Srila Bhakti Vedanta Narayana Goswami Maharaj, who will be coming to this area in just about a few days from now. So all of you who are new to Krishna consciousness, right? Who's been here? Or are you all devotees? Can you raise your hand who's coming for the first time? Okay, nice. So he'll be here, Srila Prabhupada's successor, and Srila Prabhupada is completely, fully in his heart, so you can experience fully Prabhupada's presence, and the presence of the whole disciple succession, and the presence of Krishna, and the real Vedishan Ram. So, in fact, Prabhupada explained, my Gurudev explained, that just like Krishna didn't disappear from the gopis during the rasa dance, he was hiding in one kunj, one forest bower, just to watch their beautiful singing and the mood of separation from him. So Srila Prabhupada is also right here watching us, and also waiting to meet with us. Waiting, watching, and guiding. So this is, we did this for his last book that he did before he left his manifest state in this world, showing the appearance of Lord Krishna in the world. In 5,000 years ago. And then, after Krishna appeared, he was now having his name-giving ceremony, where the astrologer is telling Krishna's parents and Balaram, his brother Balaram. Balaram is the first expansion of the Supreme Lord, and he expands into unlimited incarnations who perform various lordly duties in the spiritual world, presiding over spiritual planets, and also in this world, breathing in and out universes, sitting in the hearts of all living beings, sitting within every atom, holding the whole thing together. So, his parents never thought that he was God, and they brought him to the astrologer to find out his future, and the astrologer told them that he has had many incarnations in the past, and he's not different from the Supreme Personality of God. And this is Krishna as a young boy, having some pastimes with his mother. And this is another pastime with his mother. He's about 3 or 4 years old, and Krishna is playing with his friends. He has eternal friends in the spiritual world who are the same quality as him. And then he sends some of these associates, some of the associates who are coward boys and associates who are his beloved gopi friends, and he sends them to the material world in the form of spiritual masters. So here in the spiritual world, Krishna is playing with his friends, and they decide to be naughty and play a trick on him. So they told his mother that Krishna was eating earth instead of the sweetmeats that he gave him for lunch. So Mother Yasoda said, "Have you been eating earth?" And Krishna said, "No, I haven't." Then she said, "Well, I'll look in your mouth and see if you've been eating earth." So Krishna opened his mouth, and she saw within his mouth all the material universes, millions and billions of planets, all the senses, all the demigods. And even though all the symptoms were there, that he's the Supreme Personality of Godhead, because of the real Lady Shamarani's expansion called Yogamaya, who controls God, God's parents, his friends, and everybody in Krishna's abode, nobody thinks that he's God, including himself. Even he forgets by the influence of Yogamaya that he's God. Because more pleasurable than being God, even though God is the embodiment of all knowledge and all bliss, is to relate in loving exchanges with his devotees. So when Mother Yasoda saw all the universe in his mouth, she thought, "Oh, maybe I was being attacked by some ghost or something." She said, "All right, close your mouth and don't ever eat your earth again." Now, this is a indication. This is a great devotee named Markandeya Rishi. And he's showing the example that if one, and you can see he's chanting on feet, chanting names of the Lord properties, just like we have. It shows that if you have a taste in chanting the holy names, you're experiencing so much happiness that no material happiness can compare. So he was in that state of mind, state of consciousness, and lust and greed wanted to do something to bring him down because they became envious. So they sent from the heavenly planets very excellent musicians and dancers, heavenly dancers, to try to distract him from his meditation. And all the ladies there in the heavens, their natural fragrance is like that of lotus flowers. And even the most beautiful movie star of this world is like an insect compared to the beauty of these demigoddesses. But still, because his taste in chanting was so great, he was totally oblivious. And this sage, Markandeya Rishi, had a boon that he would never die for millions and millions of years. Billions of years. But every so many billions of years, there's a destruction that takes place in the universe. And all the planets are inundated. The whole universe becomes inundated with very high waves, very cyclone-like waves. And so everybody was finished, but he was being bashed by the waves because he couldn't die. And finally, the waves carried him to this one place that wasn't flooded, the spiritual land in this material world. And he saw a banyan tree on that land. And on one of the branches of the banyan tree, he saw a leaf. And on the leaf was little baby Krishna sucking on his toe, just like babies do. And the reason Krishna is sucking on his toes is because he wants to taste the nectar that the devotees taste by serving those lotus feet. As mentioned before, happier than being God is being a devotee of God, or when God forgets he's God and relates in loving exchanges with his devotees. And this is when Krishna's a little older, playing with his friends. Even though the Supreme Lord is the source of all creatures, including animals, and the sounds of animals too, Prabhupada gave an example that if somebody puts on a magic show and they can imitate the sound of the dog, the actual barking of the dog, then people will pay hundreds of dollars to come to that show. But when the real dog barks, nobody thinks anything of it. But somebody made the real dogs barking and a real dog. So Krishna created all species of life, but he prefers to play as a friend with his coward boyfriends and imitate the peacocks and the deers and other animals. And here Krishna is playing his flute, and all the animals are becoming enchanted. And the river is offering the lotuses from the river with her wave-like hands. Now this is Srila Prabhupada's successor, for any of you who are new. His name is Srila Bhaktivedanta Narayan Maharaj. And Srila Prabhupada asked him just before his disappearance from his manifest stay in this world in November of 1977, he asked Srila Prabhupada, Srila Narayan Maharaj, to continue his mission and take care of all of his disciples and followers. So since then, he's been traveling around the world, and as I mentioned, he'll be here in just a few days, arriving at the LA airport on the 7th, and anyone's welcome to come and meet him there. Otherwise, he'll be starting his programs in San Diego on the 10th, and then coming here to Los Angeles for one or two nights.
One
night on June 12th, and the devotees will give you more information about that at the end of the program. This is also some other pictures of Srila Narayan Maharaj. And I met Srila Narayan Maharaj in 1992. And at that time, he continued with Prabhupada inspiring, Prabhupada inspiring him too. He continued engaging me in painting pictures for publications and temples. This is in Vrindavan. This is the first painting that he asked me to do, which is actually Srila Prabhupada. Back in 1967, he planted the seed for this painting because I was doing the painting of Radha and Krishna, the one that you saw at the beginning, the one that's very crude looking. And Prabhupada came and sat down just behind me, and probably because he saw me spacing out and just my mind wandering, and, you know, not really concentrating, because he took it in a positive way, and he was always very encouraging. He said that any creative person, intelligent or creative person, has to think more than they actually do. Like a judge, he'll hear the two lawyers giving their pleas, and then he thinks about it for a long time, and the jury thinks about it, and they speak about it. But to actually give the judgment only takes a second. So he said, you have to think, and then the painting takes less time. So he said that there was once a great pure devotee of Krishna named Srila Jayadeva Goswami, who was writing the pastimes of Krishna and Radha. And somebody want to bring up that book? In a book called Gita Govinda. And he wasn't writing from his imagination or even something that he heard. Is there any that's open? Okay. So, yeah. So, he was writing in trance, that is, Krishna himself was dictating what to write. So, he came to the verse, where Krishna is begging the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the source of innumerable worlds and innumerable living entities, innumerable incarnations, who can create all the worlds in 1 second, destroy them all in the next second, and recreate them all in the next second. He himself is a surrendered soul to his pleasure potency, who is in the form of his beloved Srimati Radhika, or Shamarani. And here, he's praying to her that, please be merciful to me. I'm burning in a great fire of separation from you. So please be merciful and put your lotus feet on my head. That's what he's begging her. So, Jayadeva Goswami is a devotee, and he's a believer that Krishna is God. And he's thinking, I know Radharani is the greatest devotee, but still she's only a devotee, and he's God. So I can't write that. Even though it was coming in his trance, he refused to write it. So his heart was trembling, his hand was trembling, his pen fell, and he said, I just can't do it. So then he told his wife, Pramavati, I have to think about this. This is too much. I'm going to take a bath now in the river, which was some distance away.
Sorry.
So he left, and then she saw him come back sometime later, and he went to his book, and he wrote it. He wrote something, then he left. Then he came back a few minutes later, and his hair was all wet. So she said, you went all the way to the river in just a couple of minutes? He said, no, I've been gone for so long. You know, I left a long time ago. Because his hair got wet from being in the river. She said, yeah, I know you left a long time ago, but then you just came back a few minutes ago and wrote something in your book and left. He said, I wrote something in the book? So he said, let me see that book. So he looked in his book of verses in his own handwriting, and he saw in golden letters, he saw the end of that verse, that please put your lotus feet on my head. And he began weeping, and he said, oh, my dear wife, Parmavati, that was Krishna himself who took my form and came and wrote that verse. You're so fortunate that you had the darshan, you had the God coming as your guest in your house, and you saw him. And they both wept, and they both fainted in ecstasy. So that's this picture. So then that was in 1967. 77, 87, and 92. That's 15 years later, 25 years later. 25, right? 25 years later, Srila Gurudev asked me to do that very painting. So, since we're on the discussion of Gita Govinda, Srila Narayan Maharaj translated into Hindi Srila Jayadev Goswami's Gita Govinda. And just as my pictures were in Srila Prabhupada's, not only mine, but other of his disciple artists, so our pictures also went into Srila Narayan Maharaj's Gita Govinda. And this painting here, you can see, is on the front cover and also inside. And this has the same mood as, can you all see clearly? This has the same mood as that one on the screen of Radharani is experiencing transcendental loving, jealous anger at Krishna. And he's begging her to forgive him. Of course, they're one. God and his power, just like I have some energy, some power in me. There's no difference between me and my power. So there's no difference between God and his unlimited power. They're one. But they take two forms, God and his power, or Krishna and Radha, in order to experience loving pastimes together. And this one is also there in the Gita Govinda, and after the program, if you like, can you open it and show the different pictures in here? We have many books back there. There's so many books of Srila Prabhupada and Srila Gurudev is also back there. And also some of them have become posters. Can somebody hold up the poster? These are originals, by the way. And if any of you are artly inclined, you can come and see the picture from closely. But you can see in the back that we have posters of these paintings. And you can also get those at the end if you like. And then this one is also for Gita Govinda. After Radharani rejected Krishna, and he went away, never rejected, never separated. But the just like you have an ocean, and the ocean is very calm, it's not very interesting, is it? Just a calm ocean on a swimming pool. But I was in Jagannath Puri. Oh yes, these are the pictures in the... These are the pictures in the book form. Actually, when Prabhupada came out with the first Krishna book, he said, this is not a book, but this is Krishna in the form of a book. Krishna made himself look like a book, and his pastimes were all there. It was in the book. So, Radha and Krishna are always together, but if it's always just meeting pastimes, then it's like a calm ocean. So I was in Jagannath Puri a few years ago, and the ocean in Jagannath Puri has tremendous waves, one after another, like the Pacific Ocean also?
North Shore Hawaii.
Yeah. So even though nothing's happening, it's just waves. But people stand on the shore and just watch, like they're watching a TV show, for hours. It's so interesting. Similarly, separation has to be there in spiritual ecstatic pastimes because it makes it more exciting. It makes meeting more exciting. And also, sometimes you know when you're feeling separation from somebody, you're feeling like you're almost meeting them in your heart. So here, the separation is misery, and even meeting them in your heart, because you're not really meeting them, is also miserable. Because this world is a perverted reflection of the real world. Like the reflection of a beautiful tree full of fruits and flowers reflected in a muddy river. It's everything's upside down. The branches are down, the roots are up, and everything's made of muddy water. So if you go to taste the fruit, or if you go to pick a flower to smell it, you're just grabbing muddy water. So this world is a perverted reflection, we learn from our spiritual masters and the scriptures. It's just a perverted reflection. So the pain is the pain of separation is miserable, and then the meeting is nice for a minute, and then it gets tiring also, so it becomes miserable also. But in the spiritual world, the real world, the meeting is ecstatic, and to make the meeting increasingly ever fresh and new, there's also separation, which is also another kind of ecstasy, because there's full meeting within. So here, externally, Radharani told Krishna, no, you were with another gopi, so now I don't want to have anything to do with you. So no matter how much he pleaded, she rejected him, so finally he left. And now she's sitting here. This is Radhakund, a lake that manifested from her own moods and that are not different from her. And you can visit that lake in the transcendental land of Vrindavan in India. And every year, from October to November, there's a one-month-long pilgrimage or parikrama to the holy land of Vrindavan, which is a replica of Krishna's abode in the spiritual world, and where he performed his pastimes in this world 5,000 years ago. So there in Vrindavan, there's a lake called Radhakund. And Radhakund, being not different from Radharani, now her heart is agitated because she sent Krishna away. So her lake is also agitated, just like she is. And she's thinking, oh no, what did I do? Fire in my life, fire in my beauty, fire in my ornaments and beautiful garments. Because Krishna came to me with so much appeal and weeping, with his beautiful long lotus eyes, weeping and begging me, and I sent him away. So without him enjoying my youthful beauty, what use is it? There's no point in my living. She's lamenting like this. However, she's fully experiencing Krishna in her heart. So they're never separated at any moment, but yet there's a sentiment of separation just to increase the newness and freshness. And here, believe it or not, Krishna here is feeling separation from Radharani. And he's searching the whole forest for her. And he's getting visions of her. His previous pastimes with her are all coming into his heart. And then that's becoming the reality, and he's forgetting everything that's around him. So then the vision of her becomes so clear. And here, he's remembering when he met her. One time she was going to get water in her water pots from the Jamuna River. And Krishna knew that she was going to go, so he also just happened to be there. And he said to her, oh, I see you have two big heavy pots. Why don't you let me help you carry one? But even though Radharani is Krishna's pleasure potency, in order to make their pastimes full of excitement, Krishna expands as his shadow, and that shadow married Radharani. So she's a married girl in a paramour relationship with Krishna. So when he said, can I help you carry your pots? She said, no, I'm a chaste housewife. You're just a debauchee. I don't want to have anything to do with you. So here he's begging and she's playing hard to get. But this is coming to Krishna in a vision. But then the vision is disappearing and reappearing, and Krishna's weeping and he's saying, I'm seeing you in my vision, and why am I so still weeping so bitterly? So separation and meeting, here it's a perverted reflection, but there that separation and meeting expand unlimitedly at every moment, forever. Okay, and these are some drawings that we did under Srila Rai Maharaj's guidance. Now this is in a similar mood where Krishna is bowing down to the feet of Srimati Radhika. In one of our scriptures called Chaitanya Charitamrita, Krishna is quoted as saying that I am the embodiment of all bliss. Just one tiny atomic drop of my happiness can drown the whole world in happiness. But I myself am enchanted and bewildered and completely forget myself because of the influence of my Prem Guru, or the Guru of Love, Srimati Radhika. So here again, he's falling at her feet to get her blessings. And here, and this drawing was started by Gauri Prabhu, who did these beautiful designs on the doorways here, who's somewhere in the back there. And then we just developed it a bit and inked it. This is Radharani's picking flowers. And just, you know how boys give any excuse if they want to meet a girl? They'll just talk about nothing. So where does that propensity come, to talk about nothing, just talk, even though there's nothing to say? So Krishna said, oh, who's stealing the flowers from my Vrindavan forest? And she says, oh, you don't know who I am? And he said, if I knew who you were, would I be asking you who you are? Just like nothing conversation. But still, these conversations are full of unlimited knowledge, unlimited bliss, and ever unfolding and ever fresh at every moment. Okay. These are some more drawings that we did for... I hope that you can all come in October, November, because we have a brand new temple there, which is a very gigantic, beautiful palatial temple at Govardhan. This is Govardhan Hill. And now the temple is there at Govardhan Hill. And Srila Gurudev had us do drawings for very large, like 10 feet, bas reliefs, which he had us paint later on, which I think, do we have those to show also? The bas reliefs? Okay. So these are some line drawings we did. And if you can all come to the festival in Los Angeles when Srila Gurudev is here, and especially in Badger, which is a one-week festival up in the hills of Badger, which is about a five-hour drive from here, and you'll get all accommodations, then at that time we'll be having very large drawings of these also to distribute.
I have a question.
Oh, okay. We'll have questions now. And but you can still show more slides. So you can look at slides as you ask questions. Any questions? Mm-hmm. Yeah, these are actually, the question is to use oils. These are a special kind of oils because after so many years of using regular oil painting with turpentine and medium, it kind of like, you know, kills you. So this is a new kind of oil, water-based oil paint. But it acts like regular ones. Any other?
Can you mention something about this picture?
Oh yeah. This is just like the original painting, but it's called the G clay, which is the top quality print in the whole world. It looks exactly like the painting. You get like 98% of the original. So and this is also, G clays will also be available if you see the devotees at the end. This is some pastimes that are in Srila Prabhupada's Krishna book and also Srimad Bhagavatam, chapter 21, which also Srila Gurudev translated our Acharya's commentaries of this book called Venu Geet. And this chapter describes Krishna going off to the forest and Radharani and her associates are back in their home lamenting that we have to stay in our homes when Krishna and his associates are out in the forest enjoying, and the cows are more fortunate than us because they get to be with Krishna, the deer are more fortunate, the birds and the trees are more fortunate, even the rivers are more fortunate, and we're so unfortunate. So as they're meditating on Krishna, with his peacock feather crown and his beautiful garland and his threefold bending form and his being the best of all dancers and wearing a turban full of flowers and fresh sprigs and playing on his flute an enchanting song that enchants the whole universe. Just by being so deeply absorbed in that, they actually enter into their own songs of lamentation, and they appear in the forest. So they're teaching by their own examples that if we chant Hare Krishna and the other mantras and songs that we sing, and really become absorbed and learn how to sing them and utter them under the guidance of a pure devotee, like Srila Prabhupada's manifested representative, Srila Narayan Maharaj, who is the present world acharya in the line of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, learning how to do it with the proper consciousness and meditations, then we actually enter into the mantra and actually enter into the pastimes of Radha and Krishna. We can even be manifest here in these bodies, and at the same time our consciousness is there. And at that time you know everything, past, present, and future. One is not disturbed, even in spite of all the miseries. And he thinks, when he gets that gain, he thinks there's no greater gain, and he's never shaken, even in the midst of the greatest difficulty. This is called Samadhi trance, and the gopis are the best examples. Any other?
Did Srila Prabhupada ever pose for any of the names?
Oh, yeah. So, where's the Lord Shiva said? That's it. Once in New York City, at that 26th Avenue Temple, there were Shiva Dev pictures there, but we're also trying to get it on the screen. That's about the third one I did, and that's famous everywhere. But the first one I did, he showed me on his wall a picture which was about this big of Lord Nisringadeva, the half lion, half man incarnation of Krishna. And the picture was so small, and I had hardly ever seen any Indian prints before in my life. And I couldn't imagine how to do it as a big painting. So Srila Prabhupada actually sat on the chair in his apartment and posed like that and crossed his eyes. And you know, it hurts to cross your eyes. And at that time, later on, we would have devotees pose and take pictures. And then we wouldn't copy them too much, otherwise the personalities would look mundane. But when we first do the drawings as far as we could, then we would take pictures of devotees in the same poses, you know, so we could see the folds of the cloth and the lighting, so it would look consistent and realistic. But in the first years, we would just have the devotee pose and draw by hand as the devotee was posing. So Srila Prabhupada posed, and as you know, it hurts to cross your eyes. So I wanted to remember that, so I said, oh, could you do that again? And he immediately crossed his eyes again. And he said the prayer to Lord Nisringadeva. O Lord, in your lotus hands you have long lotus nails with which you ripped apart the wasp-like demon, Hiranyakashipu, who, just because his little son, 5-year-old son, was a devotee, he kept trying to kill him. So Prabhupada posed me to practically see the long nails coming from his short nails, because the Lord is present in the heart of his pure devotees. So he posed for Lord Nisringadeva, and then he had the first president of the first ISKCON temple, Brahmananda, and the first treasurer, Gaudamuni, posing as Lord Nisringadeva and Hiranyakashipu. By having one of them lie down in the other's lap, and Prabhupada was directing the whole thing. Another picture that he posed for was, as I mentioned, we're doing these comic strips of Krishna's pastime. So I didn't know how to make a proper dhoti, the robe that the men wear, to pose on the devotee who was posing. So I asked Prabhupada, and he wears a sannyasi robe, which is different from the kind Krishna wears. So he put a piece of cloth around him, and his regular sannyas dhoti dropped on the floor underneath his new cloth that he folded just like Krishna, And then he shoved it between his legs, and he put a sash around him and showed how Krishna ties it. And then he posed like that. So, yeah, that's what I do. And then Sriman Rai Maharaj also posed for a few of the pictures of Gaura tied. And is it working or not working anymore? What? Was pretty good. too bad you can't see the picture of Lord Trinity, but Srimad Rai Maharaj posed for Gaura tied. And also that picture that you saw on there of Radha and Krishna, where Krishna's going like this.
Did you reboot your computer? Did you reboot it?
10 what?
Did you reboot?
10 minutes left. And you
put it off and put it back on.
Did Prabhupada or Gurudev make any sounds when they were posing?
No, but sometimes when Srila Gurudev is giving a lecture on Lord Srinadev's appearance day, he roars. He just did roar in, where was it, Hawaii? He just roared in Hawaii during the lecture. Any other? Are you an artist? Is that why you're asking art questions?
40 years.
40 years? Wow. Okay. Do I ever miss painting? No, as a matter of fact, I'm kind of happy when I'm out painting. Because, as Chitra Prabhu mentioned, or Padurika, I forget who mentioned it, we're starting with, you know, just a blank canvas and a bunch of material paints. And you're supposed to do the spiritual world, and you have no idea what it looks like. And so it's excruciatingly hard. One time I asked Ramaj, Srila Gurudev, I feel like I'm painting in the dark, because I never know what the next stroke is going to be. Although I do preliminary sketches and color sketches, when it comes to the painting, every time I make a stroke, I think, okay, who's going to do the next stroke? But there's nobody there, it's just me. And nobody does the next stroke, so I think, okay, well, I guess I have to do it then. But I never know what I'm doing. So if anything comes out, it's all Guru's mercy and Krishna's mercy. So I told Srila Rai Maharaj, Srila Gurudev, that I feel like I'm painting in the dark. So he said, then I'm fine, just paint by my light. Means just pray and beg that he takes it over, and he does take it over. In fact, the last picture that you saw on the screen of Krishna, you know, begging Radharani, I asked him, I said, the paintings that I used to do for Prabhupada for his books, they would only take about a month to do, at most, sometimes even just days. And this one, this first one that I'm doing for you, took 5 months. Of course, it's very large. It's about 5 feet. How come it took so long? So Srila Gurudev said, because the other ones you were doing by your will, and this one I had to push my will through your will. So that's what took so long. So I don't really mind when I'm not painting. I'm happy, though, when it's the last strokes, when the struggle is just at the end. In fact, this one that you just saw on the screen, could you hold up the poster so they can just turn the poster of Sega Runch? So when this one was 3/4 done, it was about 4.5 months, and the painting just absolutely was not coming out at all. It just looked like paint, not people. And so then Srila Gurudev called me to his quarters in Mathura, and he said, you should paint the mantras. The maidservants of Radharani peeking through the lattice network, waiting for when it's time for their service, and they would come in and serve them. So he said, wherever there's room, don't make it too congested. You can't see it from where you are, but you see it when you get close. Little young girls looking through, and they're experiencing the same ecstasy that Radharani is experiencing vicariously because of their love of her. So he said, so put these extra gopis in. So as soon as I did that, by their presence, the whole painting just happened out of my control. And the significance of that is that these mantras who are there witnessing very closely the pastimes of Radha and Krishna and being an integral part of them, they come to this world in the form of gurus in order to bring us to that place and get us out of complete forgetfulness of thinking that I'm this possible student dream. So both Srila Prabhupada and Srila Gurudev are from that world who've come here. So it's a very powerful, these pictures are very, very powerful. And I can say that because I didn't do it. Okay. Okay. Any last question? We have 3 minutes left. Okay, the question is that I have an idea that I wanted to do art when I first joined Srila Prabhupada. I was doing art before I joined, since I was a kid. And then Prabhupada asked somebody, I wasn't really thinking about it. I was happy just to change the vases and wash some dishes, because just the whole concept that you're not your body was overwhelming enough to me. I didn't think of anything I'd be doing. So he asked somebody what I did, and they told him that I was a painter, so then he just started me on painting. And he said in the beginning she could not paint, but by hearing and chanting about Krishna from the bona fide source, the talent came out. And one other new artist asked Prabhupada, how can I paint like Jadarani? Prabhupada gave me the name Jadarani, and Shamarani is like his additional name that Srila Gurudev gave us. So somebody asked, how can I paint like Jadarani? And Prabhupada said, I have taught her how to paint. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. By chanting, the talent comes out. Okay, so now we'll have some 10 minutes of beautiful bhajans, and you're welcome to join in. 5 minutes. And then a big feast of Krishna Prasada. Thank you very much for coming.
So I want to thank Shamarani for coming, and I want to thank all of you for coming. And we always invite you to our Saturday feast that begins at 6 o'clock. Saturday feast that begins at 6 o'clock. And you're all welcome to attend. Thank you very much again. We'll have 5 times here times and a 12 course feast, so stay. Thank you.
I just wondered if they are. I can't describe them. Maybe they're coming. Just a single figure. Just a single figure. Looking all in the garb. Either a queen or a court dress.
I don't know which one it is. I'll try and find it.